Well, grace and mercy, a rich peace be yours this day from God our Father and from our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Those of you just joining us for the first time or first time in some time, we're in a little series right now called The Gospel According to Dr. Seuss, having a little fun, looking at some familiar stories as ways that we might share our faith in an engaging way with the world around us. And last week, we looked at Gertrude McFuzz, and previous weeks, they're all online. You can check them out. Today's story has got the most simple plot. Would you like to try this? Nope. How about now? Nope. How about now? Fine. What'd you think? I liked it. There you go. That's why I get the corner office. Would you like to try this? Nope. How about now? Nope. How about now? Fine. What'd you think? I liked it. And it takes Dr. Seuss 62, count them, 62 pages to tell the story. So last week, Gertrude McFuzz was an illustration for us of how we as the people of God, as the church, how we relate to one another within the church. Today, Green Eggs and Ham shows us how we as the church relate to those who are outside the church. And many of you are going, finally, a story I know. So it starts here. I am Sam. I am Sam. That's me, that's you, that's us. I am Sam, you are Sam, we are Sam. I am Sam. I know who I am. You know who you are. We, as the church, as the people of God, we know who we are. We know our identity. Sam knows who he is. We know who we are. We are the redeemed. We are forgiven. We are saved. We know who we are. We are saved by grace through faith on account of Christ. Apart from our works, that's our identity. We know who we are. Let me turn the page. I am Sam, and I am busy. Whew. All right, I am Sam, and I'm busy. I got places to go. I got things to do. I got people to see. I got work to get done. I am Sam, and I'm on the move. I am busy. And sometimes this is where the story stops. Sometimes this is the whole story. I am Sam, I am busy, the end. Sometimes that's the whole story as it relates to who we are as the church in the world today. I am Sam and I am busy. The end. Now, if this were the end of the book that Dr. Seuss wrote, none of us would have heard of it because that's a terrible story. Right? I am Sam. Ooh, I wonder where he's going to go. I am busy. Oh, the end. Okay. This would not be a favorite bedtime story. But oftentimes, that's the whole story. I know who I am, and I've got things to do. I'm busy. I don't have time to stop and slow down and share and care about these other people. I am saved. The end. Thankfully, that's not where this story ends, right? So Sam, he recognizes what he's done. He sees the error of his way, and he turns back. So Sam realizes it's not too late to turn back. So Sam turns back to that man who's sitting on the couch, and he introduces himself. Sam, I am. And he takes a moment to extend some hospitality, to interact with that guy sitting on the chair. Sam, I am. At this point, though, some damage has already been done. Because the very first words we hear out of that guy's mouth, that's Sam I am, that's Sam I am, I do not like that Sam I am. Sam's lack of love has not gone unnoticed. And this guy's perception of Sam is going to impact his perception and receptivity of what Sam's going to offer. How this guy feels about Sam will impact how he feels about what Sam's going to offer him. I'll let you connect the dots for what that means as a Christian witness in the world today. But Sam turns back and he offers to the man green eggs and ham. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam, I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. And sometimes this is where the story stops. Do you like green eggs and ham? Nope. Okay. The end. Once again, pretty boring story, kind of a sad story. Thankfully, that's not how it ends. Sam perseveres. Would you like them here or there? I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am. Would you like them in a house? Would you like them with a mouse? I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am. And sometimes this is where the story stops. We as the people of God, as the church, we genuinely want to share our faith in Jesus. We very truly want to give away the hope that we have that someone else would experience it. And what happens, whether we think about it or not, what often happens is that we've received the message of Jesus and the hope that we have in a particular context. And when we share our hope, when we share Jesus, we share it in the same context. We've received the message of God in a particular context. And when we share the message of God, we share it in the same context, even if that person might not be receptive to it in that context. It's like this. Sam says to the man, would you like them in a house? And the man says, not in a house. And then imagine Sam saying, well, I like mine in a house. And they're best in a house. I've always eaten mine in a house. And so I guess if you don't want them in a house, I guess I've got nothing for you. You see, we all have received God's gift by faith in a particular context, and we naturally think that context worked for me. I like that context. And so when I share Jesus, I share it in that same context, and that context was good enough for me, so it ought to be good enough for you. And if that context doesn't work for you, I guess that's just too bad for you. We have personal preferences. So whether you prefer a resounding pipe organ or a bass guitar, whether you prefer blue jeans or a white robe on your pastor, whether you prefer more songs or fewer songs, whether you prefer longer messages or longer prayers, whether you prefer paper bulletins or projected words, whether you prefer continuous communion or individual tables, whether you prefer to stand for all the holy moments or please, Pastor, can we just sit down for some of the service? We all have personal preferences about the context in which we receive God's word. And personal preferences are good, because guess what? We're all persons. It's a room full of people. If you're looking for a church that doesn't have a room full of people, this is not going to be a good fit for you. It's a room full of people, and we all have preferences. I have preferences, you have preferences, and that's okay, we're people. The challenge is when we can't see beyond our preferences. And what makes it really hard to see beyond our preferences is the fact that we usually don't recognize them as preferences. We connect the dots. How I heard God's word, the context that it came to be, must have been divinely inspired and probably is in the Bible, and that's probably the only way we should do it. And so we don't recognize them as preferences, which doesn't allow us to look beyond them as preferences. Now, if you've read Green Eggs and Ham before, you've read it, right, some of you? Give me a little nod. Okay, all right. I did Gertrude McFuzz. Nope. Didwick. Nope. Yertle. You've read Green Eggs and Ham. You know that Sam is something of a connoisseur of green eggs and ham. He's really passionate about it. And if there's something I'm passionate about, I want to share it with somebody else in the best way. So if I have a dish that I love, I'm going to make it for you the way that I think it tastes the best, right? So Sam's a connoisseur of green eggs and ham. He knows how it tastes best. And so he offers it, I would assume, in the best way possible. But guess what? No traction. It's not getting anywhere. So what does he do? He tries something else. But I want you to notice this. The dish never changes. The dish doesn't change. It's the same plate of green eggs on ham in every stinking page, all 62 pages of the book. The substance doesn't change. What's being offered doesn't change. He's not changing the menu. He's not watering down the product. He's giving the green eggs and ham in all the fullness of its greenness and eggness and hamness. He's giving the real substance doesn't change. But what changes is this. Sam is willing to find any and every conceivable context in which to convey the unchanging gift. The offering isn't being changed, but he's willing to find any conceivable context in which it might be received. And so you start letting your mind go. I don't know, would you eat them in a box? I mean, I like mine in a house with a mouse, but if a box helps you, fine. Would you eat them in a box? Would you eat them with a fox? Would you on a train? Could you in the rain? Could you with a goat? Yeah. Would you on a boat? Sam's going to try to find any conceivable context to give this delicious gift away. Because Sam's goal, his heart, is not to say that he tried. Sam's not driven by this urge to say, well, at least I offered it. Sam's not coming back to church next week with a take-home sheet that says, well, Pastor, I tried. Can you check my box and sign off and I'm done with my evangelism project? Sam's heart, his desire, is that this other person would actually experience it. What he wants is for this other person to taste and see that it's good. And it's not until this other guy actually tastes and he actually sees and he actually partakes and he actually experiences that the two of them finally come together, that it started off grumpy. I don't like that guy. And once they've both eaten of the meal, now there's true reconciliation even between them. And this is the gospel, friends. This, not just the gospel according to Dr. Seuss, but the gospel of God's word, that the good news that God has for us. This is the gospel. God loves you. God loves each of you. God loves all of you. And God loves all people everywhere. And God desires that we would taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good, but we would not. Isaiah 25 describes it like this, that on this mountain the Lord of hosts will prepare for all peoples a feast of rich food. Come, taste and see. And we said, nah, not my thing. It looks kind of weird. I don't like those people. Not interested. God didn't give up. He could not. He would not. And so he sends prophet after prophet. He sends messenger after messenger. And God's saying, what else can I do? There's a parable in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 5, where God describes this vineyard. He describes his people like a vineyard. He says, I cleared all the stones out of the earth. I put up a fence around it. I put up a tower in it. I planted good seed, and I showed up, and nothing's growing. What more could I have done? I'm doing everything I can think of, and God is unrelenting and doing everything he can think of to bring his gifts to his people. And Jesus himself reflects on this history of God's giving. And Jesus sits outside of Jerusalem. If anybody's been to Israel, you may be visited. There's a little church. It's Jerusalem's on a hill, and you go down the Kidron Valley, and then it's up a little hill, and there's a little church there, and it's shaped like a teardrop. Because on that hill, Jesus wept. He
He wept over the city of Jerusalem when he thought about God's pursuit, his persevering pursuit for his people. Jesus sat there and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. City that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to you. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. We would not. And we could not." God sent prophet after prophet, messenger after messenger. In many and various ways, God spoke to our forefathers of old by the prophets, but now, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. They didn't listen to the prophets. They didn't listen to me. I'll send my Son, my only Son, whom I love. And God sends Jesus, and Jesus comes to where we are, and he meets us just as we are. And he comes, and he offers to take our burden and to give us life. That's Jesus. That's the Christ. And the word Christian, some of you, I would hope, identify yourselves as Christians. I'm a Christian. The word Christian, do you know what it means? It means little Christ. A Christian is a little Christ. And so a Christian is first and foremost one who has received the gift of life in Jesus. By faith, we are made alive, we're forgiven, we're restored. That's a Christian. But a Christian is a little Christ who follows the way of Christ. And it's as a little Christ that St. Paul can say these famous words from 1 Corinthians 9, "I've become all things to all people so that by all means I might save some, and I do it all for the sake of the gospel. To the Jews, I became a Jew that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, I became as one under the law that I might save those who are under the law. To those apart from the law, I became as one apart from the law that I might win those apart from the law. To the weak, I became weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all means I might save some. And I do it all for the sake of the gospel." And what's the gospel? Jesus bled for you. Yeah, but blood kind of grosses me out. Okay, well, Jesus is like bread from heaven that satisfies your deepest hunger. Well, you know I'm still gluten-free, right? And I've never really gone without a meal. Okay, well, Jesus is like God's plan to adopt you into his forever family. I've already got too many siblings. My parents are both still alive. All right, well, Jesus is like the perfect marriage and the ultimate relationship that every other marriage points to. Yeah, I'm kind of taking a break from dating right now. It's been a rough spot for me. All right, well, Jesus is like the greatest victory and championship, even better than the Blues beating the Boston Bruins for the Stanley Cup. Yeah, I'm not really a sports person. All right, well, Jesus is like that self-sacrificing hero in all the great books of all of literature. Yeah, I'm not much of a reader. All right, well, Jesus is like that self-sacrificing hero in all the great movies. More of a sitcom kind of person myself. All right, well, Jesus is like he's God's plan to restore creation and to fix the very environment. I didn't know you guys cared about stuff like that. Or Jesus is God's plan to erase the massive debt that all of us have accumulated. I know all about debt. How does that, tell me how that fits in your religion. Or Jesus is the one who gives perfect and real peace even in the midst of this screwed up world. I can't remember the last time I've had actual peace. Do you have peace? Or Jesus is God's plan to bring justice and equality to earth. Wait, Christians care about justice and equality? Or Jesus is God's plan to give ultimate worth and value and dignity to every single human, whether or not they can earn it or achieve it. Do you think he could do that for me? Or Jesus is God's plan to bring reconciliation and real forgiveness when hurts have been done. I've always tried to decide, do I have to ignore the hurt or end the relationship? Come. Come. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Say, I like green eggs and ham. I do. I like them, Sam, I am, and I will eat them on a boat, and I will eat them with a goat, and I will eat them in the rain, and I will eat them on a train, in the dark, and in a car, and in a tree. They are so good, you see. So I will eat them in a box, and I will eat them with a fox, and I will eat them in a house, and I will eat them in a mouse, and I will eat them here and there. Say, I will eat them anywhere. I do so like green eggs and ham. Thank you. Thank you. Sam, I am. To the glory of Christ and for the well-being of the world, may it be so among us in Jesus' name. Amen.